an opportunity to kind of feel out of place. Dr. Upman, his wife, my wife and I went to a colored funeral. A lady who had died, who was a Christian lady, Dr. Upman's maid, it was her mother that had went on to be with the Lord, and she was saved. We went to that funeral, and we were the only four white people in the building. We, needless to say, you know, we felt out of place there, amen? We kind of looked like sore thumbs sticking out there, but we wanted to go and show our love and appreciation for people that were saved and loved God. We were there and brought a good message. The preacher brought a great sermon. I wish I could preach as good as he could. Amen. He was a good man. He brought a sermon that was real good. And I thought about a lot of things, and I thought about the distinctions made in this earth, black people, white people, fat people, skinny people, you know, good-looking people, ugly people, rich people, poor people, educated people, uneducated people. And I got thinking about that thing and thought that really when it comes down to it in God's eyes, there's only two kind of people that live on this earth, saved people and lost people. Amen? Now, I know the thing about the races and distinction. We believe in separation and those things there. But when God looks at a man in his heart, spiritually speaking, the only thing that he sees is either a saved man or a lost man. His finances or his education or his social position in life cannot affect either one nor determine either one. And as you said here this morning, doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated, rich or poor, ugly or beautiful, you're either saved or you're either lost in the eyes of God. Take our Bibles and open to Psalm chapter 1, and we'll see these two men contrasted here this morning. And see the difference in a saved man and an unsaved man, or see the man that God blesses and the man whom God judges. In Psalm chapter 1, and beginning to read in verse 1, the Bible records these words: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Bow our heads for prayer as we begin this message today. Now, Father, we're thankful today for the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come before you in this hour pleading the blood that he shed for us, praying that you'd wash our minds, hearts, lives, bodies, and this assembly in that blood. We pray that you'd rebuke any foul spirit, any unclean spirit, any spirit that would work contrary to your spirit. May the Holy Spirit of God have complete control of everything that is said and done today. I pray, Lord, that as I open my mouth, the Holy Spirit of God would guide and instruct the words in such a way that you would help me to say everything you want me to say. Lord, there be anything displeasing that you don't want me to say, may it not come forth today. May the Spirit of God take complete control of everything that is done. May the Word of God be exalted. May the sweet and precious name of Jesus Christ be lifted up. And Lord, I pray that today, if there's any lost sinner in this building that be drawn to thee, anyone here without a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be their day of salvation. And Lord, I pray for any Christian here backslidden, rebellious, stubborn, that Lord, you deal with their heart and show them what they need to do and what they ought to do, and by thy grace enable them to do it. And I pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone, amen. Now in this passage, God compares two men. You might say it's a comparison of a saved man and a lost man, a godly man or an ungodly man, or it might be a comparison between the kind of man that God blesses and the kind of man that God one day judges. I think a lot of people in this world fail to realize that in the eyes of God, there's only two kind of people. Somebody that is saved and somebody that is lost. I think many people in this world think you can be in some kind of a middle position where you're not really saved, but yet you're not really lost. There is no such middle ground to be found in the Bible and the Word of God. The devil has distorted things to such a degree today, they're getting people to think that there is no absolute standard of right and wrong. There is no such thing as black and white, up and down. Everything is gray. Everything is in between. And don't be an extremist to push one way or the other. And you ask people if they're saved, and they say, well, I always thought so. Or that's a good thing to be. Or that's a good way to be. Oh my, yes, there is no other way to be but saved. And a lot of people do not realize that unless they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are not saved. They're lost, doomed, and damned for a devil's hell forever. Amen. Now this morning in this building, you're either saved or you're either lost, one or the other. There is no middle ground with God, and there is no in-between place that anybody can be. You said, well, I don't accept Him, but I don't completely reject Him. If you do not accept Him, you do reject Him. You cannot sit on the fence and straddle with God. God will make you decide. He will make you go one way or the other. The Bible said of Jesus Christ, and there was a division because of Him. Listen, when Jesus Christ is preaching, the Word of God is exposed, He'll put a line and draw it right down there that you're either on this side and saved, or you're either on that side and lost. And there is no such thing as kind of being in between and waiting and seeing what the Lord would do. I want to look, first of all, at the saved man, or the man whom God blesses, and notice some things about him. Notice, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God wants to bless man. Now get that right, amen? God wants to bless man. Now, that's evidence from the beginning of time until the end of time. God wants nothing more than to bless man, to be a blessing to him, and to be good to him. But God will not bless man unless man lines up with the Word of God and God Himself. God does have a blessing program, as the Reverend Ike would tell you, but it's not exactly like the Reverend Ike program, amen? God has a blessing program. He longs to bless men. The Bible said that the world doesn't know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God wants to be good to you. God wants to bless you. God wants to watch over you and take care of you. But if you refuse to get in line with the Word of God, there will be no blessings to come from the hand of God. The man God blesses, first of all, is separated from this world. The first thing that God says you must do is a negative thing. Well, there's that negative preaching. That's all we ever hear out here is negative. I'll get on the positive in just a minute, amen. I'll have a poll here for you in just a minute you'll like. If you don't like the negative and you can't endure it, pray for grace. And when we get to the positive, then enjoy it, amen. The Bible says that a man must be separated from this world. The first appeal is a negative appeal. Notice that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice that first of all, the man's just walking. And notice next of all, he's standing. And then last of all, he's sitting. And when the world calls to a Christian or a man of God, that's what they want you to do. Walk with them, stand with them, and eventually sit down and partake of their deeds with them. God said, if you want me to bless you, I'll tell you the first thing that's got to come in your life, separation from this world. Christian people say, I won't do it. Don't look for God to bless you. They say, I won't give up the habits and the trades and the friends and the people I have. Don't look for God's hand to be upon your life. Don't look for God's blessing to flow in your life. Don't look for God to use you in this life. God never used a man or a woman or a child that would not obey the command of the Word of God. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Love not the world, neither things that are in this world. For all in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are not of this world, or of God. They're of the world. What God said, he said, come on out. Come on out. He said, don't fellowship with them. Evil communications corrupt good manner. You get along with that world, and the first thing you know, you're just kind of walking with them. Next thing you know, you're standing. And then the next thing you know, you're sitting down, and like Peter, you're warming your hands at the fire with the enemies of God. See, I don't like that preaching. I didn't figure you would when I got the message ready, amen? I didn't figure nobody would be jumping the pew when I said this, amen? I didn't figure nobody would come up and pat me on the back and say, that's good, Brother Jim. God did, nobody asked me to preach it. God told me to do it, amen? Now, as long as I do what he does, be all right. If you don't like it, doesn't bother me one bit. Separated, separated, separated. Well, I just won't give up, my friends. Don't look for God to bless you. But I just won't give this up. After all, I've done it all my life. I'm just going to keep doing it. Doesn't matter what you say. I know that. I've known that a long time ago. I've been preaching here for several years. It don't matter what I say. Some of you still won't do it. You won't pay any heed. Dr. Oakman's been preaching here for years and years. He's been preaching right on the same line. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You refuse to take a rebuke from the Word of God. So if that isn't, if words aren't strong enough, then the Lord gets something a little strong. You know, when you deal with your children, you try to be nice to them. Sometimes that's hard to do. Amen? Sometimes it's hard to deal with your children and be nice to them. But the first thing you do is you try to tell them. See what I mean? I mean, now, son, let me tell you, that ain't right. But don't do it again. If you do it again, you're going to have to take some different means. Well, he does it again. You sit down, you pray with him, talk to him. Now, son, this is your second chance. Now, I told you. Now, one more time, and that's it. Goes out and does the same thing again. Now, if you're like me, I call him in, we have a meeting. Amen? I'm the chairman of the board, amen? Ain't nobody there but me. We have a board meeting, amen? You ever been in one of them? Amen. If words do not work, then I'll take the next step. Say, well, you mean? No, sir, I love every one of my boys. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't care whether they did right or wrong. Listen, a parent that isn't concerned with their children doing right and wrong, learning right and wrong, and doing all they can humanly possible within their power to keep them from right and wrong, doesn't love their children and isn't fit to raise a dog. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. You're welcome. Doesn't cost one penny more. Amen. And you know what I do? I'll whip them. And if they continue, I'll continue to whip them. I'm a lot hard-headed than any of them ever thought about being. I'm more stubborn than them, and my wife will stand up and testify and say amen, and I'm more hard-headed than she is. Let me tell you something. God deals with you the same way. He'll get you in church in a nice, comfortable place and sit down on a padded seat. A friend, get up there and preach a word of God that loves you and loves your soul, loves your heart, loves your family, and all you are. He'll say, separate, separate, separate. Come out, give it up, cast it aside. Don't walk with them, don't stand with them, don't sit with them. Get out, flee, depart from evil, do good. Yeah. I'm not going to listen to him. Who do you think I am? Say, God wouldn't whip me. You don't know much about God. If he loves you, he'll whip you. He must really love me, amen? I tell you, he must really be in love with me, amen? I mean, if chastening is a sign of love, he must really love me. Listen, the Bible said a man must be separated from this world. Got to be. You know, they had a sign one time in a trucking company. It had a lot of men do some things that were kind of bad and show themselves off and speed and one thing and another. So a fella thought up a good idea, and he put a sign right over the gate. Kept all the trucks inside a big gate and locked it up and everything, because we live in the land of the free and home of the brave, and Ripoff City, too. So they had everything all locked up and everybody inside the gate. And as everybody drove outside the gate, they saw this sign. And they're trying to impress upon the drivers responsibility and concern about the company. And they said, remember, outside of this gate, you are the company. How about that? I thought about that. Man, I thought about that. We ought to put that over the church door right there. Amen. Outside of these doors, You are the Bible Baptist Church.
Yeah, man.
Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter where I'm at or what we preach or how we live. You're a member of this church, and this church is going to be no better than the people that are in it. You can talk all the cream you want, but if you're not living nothing but skim milk, it won't make any difference at all. You can speak all you. Listen, my dad was just up talking to my uncle not long ago about salvation, need to be saved. Yeah, I've been praying for him a long time. Ever since I got saved, I've been praying he'd get saved. We talked to him one time. Well, you know, we got to live it, got to do this, and got to do that, and got to get in line with this, and live that, so forth and so on. I prayed that the Lord would deal with him. I have a preacher friend of mine, a small church, and he works, regular job. And my uncle got on the same crew where he did, old Shelby Linville. And he's on there with him every day. I mean, just talking to him, just preaching to him, giving him the word. And the Lord softened his heart as years went on. His youth has kind of slipped away from him. You can see old age coming on and death just around the corner. It's amazing how soft some people's hearts get when those things begin to come around. And my dad talking to him about the Lord and about being saved. And my uncle said, you know, he said, I'd probably been saved a long time ago if it just wasn't for Christians. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, my wife, her people are all saved and all supposed to be Christian people. And said, when I married them, I wasn't saved, and they knew it, and they went ahead and let me marry her, and she's supposed to be saved. And she said, he said, I never could understand. He said, we'll go over there on Friday or Saturday night. He said, go to the liquor store with us and get some liquor and come out. And say, I hope nobody from the church sees us. And he said, they sit down and play cards with you, cuss with you, smoke with you, and drink with you. And he said, they're supposed to be saved. And he said, I just can't see any difference. He said, I just can't. And he said, if it wasn't for Christians, I might have been saved a long time ago. Now, that isn't right. Man gives account of himself to God. That isn't right. That isn't no means of justifying what you're doing. What I'm saying, brother, is this world is watching you. If you're not separated from this world, God will not bless your life. Not only is he separated from the world, but he's saturated with the word. Notice what it says in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This man is separated from the world. He's saturated with the word of God. The trouble with Christian people in America today is they have time for everything except time for the word of God. The trouble with Christian people in this world today, instead of setting a time when they read the Bible and examine the word of God, it's the last thing they do in the day. They get to a time when they're so sleepy and can't hold their eyes open, read a half a chapter and think they've done something for God, close the Bible, fall asleep while they're reading the Bible, and they have no time for the word of God. And let me tell you, churches in America today have been saturated with everything but the word of God. Say, well, in this church, we don't have much going on. No, we don't, man. We get up here, take an offering, sing, and preach. That's it. Ain't nothing else, huh? What else? That's it, man. You know why? We want people saturated with the word of God. Man, we want you to get it in Sunday school. We want you to get it in church. We want you to get it Sunday night. We want you to pick it up, read it, teach it, study it, memorize it, hide it in your heart, meditate on it, eat it, digest it, drink it, see it, saturated with the word of God. Bible said this man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate day and night. Complete saturation. Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Man, I'd love to be saturated with the word of God. I'd love to have it around me day and night. I'd love to have it with me all the time. I'd love to just be day and night saturated with the word of God. I have opportunity to listen to the word of God. Man, I got tape players wherever I'm at. I'm singing, preaching something, man. I want somebody to put something on me, amen. I want somebody to preach something to me, say something to me, turn the radio on. I try to surround myself with things that are involved in the word of God. Troubled churches in America today is they have everything but the Bible. Yeah, saturated with gimmicks and promotions. Yeah, give you anything they want, but you'll die spiritually from a void of the word of God. Yeah. Give you a little trinket, give you a hamburger, watch a preacher swallow a goldfish, break a record over his head, have the mystery seat on the bus, saturated. But where's the word of God? Where's it at? Show me in the Bible where God said to saturate him with gimmicks and promotions and program. Said saturate him with the word of God. And you got the singing and specials and all these great, colossal, independent Baptist movements in America. Great revival is sweeping America. Man, I want to get where it's at because it never swept where I was. Amen. I tell you, if it swept, it sure missed a lot of the dirt where I've been. If it's been a great revival sweeping America, I'd like to know where it's at because I've missed somewhere and I want to get in on it. Amen. Well, the independent. Little programs and little people dressed just right, and the little choirs and the boys and the girls and singing, holding their head just right and looking just right, and expressions and the microphone just program after program. Cantatas and Easter and Christmas and special singers and special groups. Where is the Word of God? Now listen, there's nothing wrong with some promotion. Nothing wrong with that. Well, whenever promotion gets more than the Word of God, you got the wrong thing. Listen, there's nothing wrong with good singing, man. I like it. I get nervous, excited. Makes me want to shout, amen. Every now and then I'll say amen 3 times in a row. That's excited for me, amen. Every now and then get me stirred up, and I love it. God did not promise to save souls through the singing of the Word, but the preaching of the Word of God. Don't ever get in a position where it becomes more. Listen. Isn't a man in the Bible, wasn't a man of God, and God used, wasn't saturated with the Word of God. David said, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, his law's before me all the time. He said, I love it more than food, necessary gold. I love it more than that. Saturated with the Word of God. A few years ago, we had a revival meeting in a church in Lebanon. Brother Bill Henderson came to preach a revival. We'd went out on visitation, and led some people to the Lord and had some good visits and some bad. We went into a home with some family. I don't even know how we got the name now. It was an older man, an older woman, and the house is all kind of closed up, musty. Actually, the house kind of stink inside. They couldn't do no cleaning, couldn't get out. There's a woman sitting over here in a chair, man sitting over here. The woman professed to be saved and know the Lord, but she hadn't grown much. Her husband was lost, never been saved. She had been a member of a church for a long time. Church people didn't come by, so we went by and talked to the fellow. Fellow's up in years, around 70, 80 years old. We told him the plan of salvation. Showed him how he could be saved. Right there, that day, he opened his heart and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him. And she was just rejoicing. I mean, had a good time. Amen? I enjoy that. You enjoy what you enjoy. I enjoy what I enjoy. We had a good time. I rejoiced. Praise God, man. I'll tell you, I was shouting that out when we came to church. And the woman was saved, and her eyesight was bad. She said she couldn't read, and she longed to read the Word of God. So I said, well, I'll get you a Bible. I went and got that time. All I could find was a New Testament and Psalms in large print where she could read it. I took it back to her, and occasionally I'd stop in and see her, moved away and come back. In a period of 2 years, she read that thing through 14 times. 2 years, 14 times. I thought about that. That's pretty good, amen? That's pretty good. And you know, her husband lived about a month after that, and after that period of time, he died and went on to heaven. And she said, you know, Brother Jim said, just the strangest thing, that after he got saved, said, we sit here and just watch TV or do nothing. But he said, all during the day, he said, just, well, let's turn the TV off and read some more of that Bible. She said, you know, it just seemed like he couldn't get enough of it. Said, I'd read something. He'd say, stop. Read that again. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, read that again. Then in there, he'd say, read that again. You know what? She said, my life, I can't do much, but she said, I can sit here and read the Word of God. Saturated with the Word of God. Brother, you go in that home, and there'd be a glow of heaven on her face when you'd look at her. The Word. The man separated from this world, he's saturated with the Word of God, and he's situated by the waters. Notice what the Bible said in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, if God's going to bless you, you're going to have to be separated from this world. You're going to have to saturate yourself with the Word of God. And you're going to have to situate yourself by the water. And you say, what's the water? The water in the Bible is likened to the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 4, where he talks to the Samaritan woman, tells of her of salvation, he said, if you knew who I was, He said, you would have asked me, and I'd give you some water to drink. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the physical water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In John chapter 7, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which was yet to come. Now, too many people today interested in the fruit and the leaves instead of the root of the trees. Amen? That's a problem in America today. All they're interested in is seeing the fruit and the leaves and how pretty it looks like, but they're not interested in the roots being planted by the water and digging deep to where the source of the water is. Now, let me tell you, the reason we got so many dry Christians today is because they're not situated by the water. The reason we got so many dry churches today is because they're not situated by the water. Listen, a church situated by the water, a Christian situated by the water, is one where a place where the Holy Spirit is, where the Holy Spirit moves, where the Holy Spirit has liberty and freedom and controls the service and the things that are done. I want a church situated by the waters. I want a Christian life situated by the waters and the Holy Spirit of God. Most churches today wouldn't even know the Holy Spirit if he came in the back door one time. If he'd have made a guest appearance, they'd give him a visitor's card and set him down in his seat and say, sit here and we'll talk to you after the service. Amen? I mean, they wouldn't know who he was, void of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not there. They're so concerned with having fruit and leaves that they're not concerned with having a church that is filled with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Listen, there's people dying every day. Why? Because they're not situated by the water. You cannot live and exist without water and a church and a Christian that isn't in a place where the Holy Spirit of God moves and controls the service will spiritually dry up and die. And they'll bear no fruit in this world today. Situated by the... I get tired of it. I really do. People come to me, I go to a lot of little churches. That's about the only place I have been, small church. Can't cause much trouble there, amen. If you have a split, it won't be very big. So I go to a lot of churches that are small. I go to these small churches in Ohio and Florida and Tennessee, one place or another. And then these other people are in these other independent churches, these big churches around them. And they'll come to the church and they'll meet me. Oh, Brother Jim, that's good, man. I tell you, that's good. Boy, the Lord bless. And we ain't heard no preaching like that. Sound like old Brush Arbor meeting or something. I don't know whether it's a compliment or what, but I said, sound like old time stuff. We used to hear that when we was little. I said, we're over in this church over here. And said, it's a big church. And, oh, we had a lot of people walk the aisle. A lot of people getting saved. I said, it's so dead. It's so dead. I said, don't know why they ever say amen. I said, don't know why anybody ever say praise the Lord. I said, the only person that ever does that's a preacher. I said, it's dead. Said to sing and said, you feel like you're the only person in the building singing. So we just don't know what to do. And I said, well, where are you a member at? He said, we're a member over in that dead church. I said, I got some good advice for you. Get out! Get out! They won't do it. They won't move. They're going to stay there and dry up and die because they're not situated by the waters. Brother, I want to be situated by the waters. Man, I don't care if it's 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, or 50 people. I'd rather be by the waters and see the moving of the Spirit of God than to be in a church of 5,000 that's just dead and dry. Brother, I want to see the Spirit of God move. I want to see him reach out there and get a hold of somebody's heart and bring conviction and judgment and reprove them of the wickedness that's in their life. I want to see people come and enjoy the things of God. Lift a voice like a trumpet and sing out to God. Man that God blesses is situated by the waters. Right there, they're drier than cracker juice, amen? That's dry, amen? But I tell you, I've been in them like that. I was choking, amen. I've been in them where I was choking and glad to leave. I have no pity for him and no mercy anymore. I ain't say, well, brother, I feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him a bit. Get out! Get out! Get out! Get you in a place situated by the waters. Get there, man. You want a deep... Listen, I'd rather have 50 people that got the roots dug deep and the Spirit of God moves and we have a good time and the Holy Ghost comes in a real way and power. We sing the praises to God and leave and say, hallelujah, I can't wait to come back till tonight. Be in this church and say they still have Sunday night services. We ought to quit that Sunday night service, man. That's just too much. I mean, one time a church is plenty. Saved man. You know what he is? Separated from this world. Saturated by the Word of God and situated by the waters. Now, in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. There's a difference. A difference. I mean, God draws a line that anybody can read, can see it. God draws a line that is so clear and plain, anybody can see it. He said, the ungodly are not so. They're different. They're different. But he said, they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Notice here the similitude of the ungodly. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know what the chaff is? Get ready to harvest the crop, wheat, rye, whatever it is, and the chaff is the useless stuff. The stuff that the wind blows away. In the old days, the only way they had to separate it was to take a pitchfork type thing, blow the wheat and that up together in the air. The wheat and the grain that was heavy would fall to the ground, and the chaff, the wind would just blow away. They didn't try to pick it up, and they didn't try to go get it. They were glad to get rid of it. The Bible said the ungodly are like the chaff. They have no roots to abide in this world. You know, the godly man, he has some roots, man. I mean, roots that dig down by the waters of life. But you know, the ungodly have no roots anywhere. You look at the lost man, you know what he does? He just moves from one thing to another. I mean, he tries this and he tries that. Why? Because he doesn't have any roots. He doesn't have any permanent abiding. Like the chaff, the wind blows them away. They have nobody to look to in the time of storm and trouble. And sorrows blow them away. I don't see how some lost people go through what they go through without Jesus Christ. Man, I don't see how they could come to a funeral without Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you, that funeral the other day, that black lady is saved. Her family, man, she had 20-something grandchildren, 20-something great-grandchildren. There must have been 100 of her family there. Family, man. And there they were, boy, sitting up there, and there's Mrs. Evelyn Stroke, she's sitting up there and crying. Yet at the same time rejoicing. Because she knew her mommy had went on into heaven. The winds blew, but it didn't blow her away. Just made the rock a little bit more precious than it ever was. Just made Jesus a little bit more sweeter in heaven, a little bit more near than it ever was before. Listen, those winds blow on the unsaved man like the chaff. Blows them away. They're not fruitful, useless, worthless, and they're dead. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10, 11, 12, talking about the Lord gathering up the things into the unquenchable fire. And he said he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Fire. Dead. Notice the Bible said they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment. Notice not only the similitude of the ungodly, but notice the true character of the ungodly. Is brought out at the day of judgment. They will not stand. They will not be able to come and stand before the Lord. Nor righteous, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And notice what it says in verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The similitude of the ungodly is like chaff, dead, worthless, blown away with the wind. They're not alive. They're dead. The character of the ungodly is revealed at the judgment. They're not saved. They're lost. And they can't stand. And beloved, the way of the ungodly is shown. God said there's two ways you can go. There's a broad road that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that find it. But there's a narrow road that leadeth to life. few there be that enter therein. And listen, if you're lost this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, the message that I have for you is that you're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And the day of judgment comes, you will not stand because you have chosen the way of the ungodly. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way of man and the way of the devil are the same. The way of death. Don't die. Don't be like the chaff blown by the wind. Useless. Listen. Think about this just a minute. A person's born in this life, lives 50, 60, 70, 80 years, dies. They never trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they go to hell. Can you think of anything more useless than that? It doesn't matter what they accomplish on this earth. They're going to die and go straight to hell. Now, man, that's useless. I mean, there's just no sense in that. If you're without Jesus Christ, there's no sense in you dying without Him. A few years ago, I pastored a church in Lebanon, Ohio. I went to visit one of my members' family that was in the hospital. I went and saw her. She had some kind of operation, talked to her. She said, "Brother Jim, would you go down the hall and talk to this young girl?" I said, "She's just two doors down in a room down there." I said, "I heard the nurses talk about her." I said, "She's 18 years old. She's dying of cancer. And only has a matter of weeks to live." She said, "I don't know if she's saved or not. But," she said, "I want you to go down there and find out so I can pray for her. She is saved." She said, "I pray the Lord take her home. She won't have to suffer." She said, "She's not saved. I want to pray for her." And I went in there. Sure enough, here's a girl. I mean, you just look at her. Beautiful young girl. Life, youth, everything you'd think in this world going for her. Dying of cancer. And I introduced myself and talked to her. I'm no great witness, no great soul winner, don't profess to be, never have been. But I don't have any trouble being interested in people. I like people. I always have. I like talk to people. I enjoy it. So I just go in, "How you doing?" One thing and another. You from here? You from there? Where you from? What you doing? I'm a little bit nosy anyway, so that kind of helps me. Doesn't bother me a bit. And where's your mom and dad? What you do? You know, and so forth and so on. I told her I heard that she was sick, and I was very sorry. Didn't say anything to her about the fact she was going to die. But I said, there's somebody who already bore your sickness and your sorrows, and somebody who bore your sins. And I said, irregardless of your physical condition, whatever it may be, I said, you can know where you're going to spend eternity. You can know that Jesus is yours and you're His for all eternity. I told her the plan of salvation and asked her if she'd like to be saved. And she said no. Didn't want to be saved. I pleaded with her and begged with her. She continued to refuse. I knelt and had a word of prayer and left the room. They sent her home the next day. About 2 weeks later, she came back to the hospital with a matter of hours to live. I went back to the hospital to see her again. She knew who I was, and she knew why I came. I told her again the plan of salvation, how she could be saved. And I said, "Now, don't you want to be saved?" I said, "I'm not trying to scare you, but," I said, "you know that death is going to come to every one of us." I said, "I may die for you. I may go out here and get in a car wreck. But," I said, "if I die, I know where I'm going." I said, "Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know?" She said, "No, I don't want to know." I begged with her. And I pleaded. Now, I'm not one to try to push salvation on anybody. But I said, "Look here, girl." I said, "You're going to die." I said, "You're going to face God." And I said, "Without Him, you're going to die and go to hell." I literally got down beside her bed and got on my knees and begged her to trust Jesus. I never felt so burdened in a long time about anybody. And I said, "I don't normally do this, but," I said, you need Jesus. You need Him." She wouldn't get saved. She wouldn't trust Him. I walked out of the door and left, burden heavy. I couldn't sleep. The next day I called the hospital. She was dead. Gone. During the night she'd went out into eternity. I went upstairs in my study and knelt down. And I said, Lord, that's the most useless thing. I said, I've never heard of anything so pitiful in all my life. She died and went out into eternity without God. Listen, she's like the chaff that was blown away. Life came upon the scene. As quick as life came, death came. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, a useless, vain life and death. As far as I know, unless a miracle happened in the last minutes of her life, she's burning in hell right now. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not like the saved people. Beloved, if you're not saved this morning, I beg you, I plead with you, and I ask you to come to Jesus Christ today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I never forgot that girl, and I never will. I've never seen nothing that I don't think for such a short period of time it ever tore me up in such a way. And my wife, she'll remember it. I had told her about it and how she died. Went out into eternity in hell. I've got some loved ones that are going to go the same way. They're going to die and go to hell. I wish it wasn't so. Sometimes people think, oh, he just enjoys beating people over the head and preaching what he does. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy thinking about people going to hell because I got some people close to me that are going to go to hell. I got some people that are like brothers and sisters to me that they're going to die and go to hell. I don't like to think about it. It's true. Listen, saved people, it's time we got on the ball and quit messing around. You want God to bless your life? Get separated from this world. Everything in this world. Saturate yourself with the Word of God and get situated by the waters. Ask the Spirit of God to become real in your life. You get situated by the waters, you won't have to worry about bearing fruit. It'll come naturally. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you'll not stand in the judgment. You won't be able to endure. And the way of the ungodly shall perish. Going to perish. You're going to die. And if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell and burn forever. Now, Father, and today I pray that you'd bless the words of this message and in a real definite way, you've impressed upon my heart this message to preach. Maybe it's for somebody here. Somebody hearing on the radio. I don't know, Lord. But I pray that you'd speak with those people here this morning that are saved. Lord, they want your blessing upon their life. If they're saved, they really want you to bless them. To help them to see if they want the blessing, they're going to have to get in line with the program that God has. May they separate themselves from this old world. Get in the Word of God. The Lord, let the Holy Spirit take complete control of their life and all that they do. Lord, for that ungodly lost sinner here today, may they not be like this young girl who went out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, without any hope of heaven, to die and spend eternity in hell. May it not be said of them. May not some preacher stand in days to come after their death and say they knew the way, but they refused. Today may it be their day of salvation. In your name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The organist, you play real softly something for us. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. Now I want you to think about it and I want you to answer it honestly. If you're here this morning, you're saved and born again. You know there was a time in your life when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. then lift your hand as a testimony to that. If you're saved and know that, hold your hand up. Now, if you don't know it and you can't raise your hand, please don't do it. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Almost every hand I could see was raised. Praise the Lord for a beautiful sight. One day we'll raise it into heaven. One day we'll lift both hands unto God. Praise and worship Him. Oh, if you're lost and you couldn't raise your hand, I beg you and plead you to come with Jesus. Trust Him. If you're here this morning, you couldn't raise your hand that you were really saved. But you're concerned about your soul. You don't want to die and go to hell. You don't want to leave this life without Jesus Christ. You want to be saved. You just put your hand up real quick. Put it down. Say, pray for me, preacher. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die without Jesus Christ. Pray for me. Is there one here like that today? Just hold your hand up and put it down. Nobody going to come to you. Nobody going to embarrass you. We're not going to try to get you down some aisle. Just want to pray for you. Just put your hand up, put it down. Say, preacher, pray for me. Is there one? You couldn't raise your hand that you were saved, but you want us to pray. You that are saved and you that are Christians. The Bible said, blessed is the man. God wants to bless your life. God wants to use you in a great way. God wants to take care of you and to bless your life over and over again. Let me tell you, unless you get in line with God's way, God's blessing will never be on you. If you're here today and you're saved, but there's something that the Lord spoke into your heart, maybe it's about separation. Maybe it's about just saturating yourself with that word. Whatever the need may be, if you're saved, but you want us to pray for you, hold your hand up, put it down, say, preacher, pray for me. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that one. Yes. I see that hand. Somebody else said, preacher, pray for me. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, I see it. I want to do God's way. I want to get on His program. Yes. Is another while we're there. I see that hand. Yes, amen. God's way is always the best way. Oh, if we only had enough foresight to be able to see it, and only had enough hindsight to look back and see God's way has always been the best way. Now, Father, today I pray that You'd bless the words of this message to the heart of every person that hears it. I pray for these Christian people to raise their hand, Lord, things in their life that need to be straightened out. I pray that right now, with their heads bowed and eyes closed, and the place where they're at, that they'll get them straightened out right now. Lord, they'll confess, forsake, ask for help or strength or whatever it may be. God, I know that You will do Your part. Lord, I know we can't put confidence in man, but I know we can put complete confidence in You. Help them to see that, Lord, You will bless them. You will take care of them. Lord, hear and answer their prayer. For that lost sinner here today, Lord, there's some in this building that could not raise their hand that they were saved. Speak to the heart. Give them no rest day nor night until they trust Thee. Don't let them have any peace or any false peace. Don't let any preacher or any church deceive them about what true salvation is. May they see, unless they receive Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, trust Him, they have no hope of heaven whatsoever. Bless and honor the living Word of God today. Pray it for Your name and for Your sake alone. Amen. We're not going to have an invitation this morning. We're going to have a baptismal service here in just a minute. All the men that would like to get baptized, come on this side. My left, your right. Any ladies like to be baptized, come over here. Brother Neidlinger, how about you coming in here with the men? And how about a lady? Some lady come on over here to help the ladies. One lady that'll come over here and help me.